Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today as we continue along in the Gospels. Today we're moving from Matthew to the Gospel of Mark, as we're in Mark chapter 9, verse 1. As we read, "And he said unto them, Truly I say to you, that there will be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till I've seen the kingdom of God come with power." Well, what did Jesus mean by that? Because those disciples have all died. As we look back now in history, they've all died. And we've not seen the kingdom of God come as of yet with power. Was Jesus mistaken? Well, first of all, no. Let me make sure I underscore that. No, Jesus was not mistaken. See, when you look at the scriptures, and if my interpretation of the scripture would make it appear that Jesus was mistaken, then my interpretation is wrong. If my interpretation of what Jesus said would make what Jesus said ridiculous or foolish, then of course my interpretation is wrong. And many times people misinterpret the words of Jesus. Let's notice what happens in verse 2. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, as so no fuller." Otherwise, there wasn't any laundromat that could make the clothes any whiter. No fuller on earth can white them. "And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus." What they were talking about, we don't really know. I think they were probably talking about the kingdom of God and the things that are set before us in our future. But isn't it interesting that Peter, James, and John was taken up into this high mountain? Really, it was Mount Hermon, which is just there at Caesarea Philippi, because Caesarea Philippi is just right at the base of the mountain. And Jesus, some 6 days later, took them up on the mountain, the scripture tells us, and that he was transfigured before them, and his raiment did shine. And while he was there in this transfigured state, Moses and Elijah appear, and they were talking with him. Even as Jesus says, there are some standing here that will not going to be tasting death until they see the kingdom come with power. I believe at this time they were seeing, witnessing this tremendous change upon Jesus, where he was in his resurrected, glorious state with Moses and Elijah. You know, it's almost like they were pulled out of time and they stepped into eternity, where they could see Jesus as he's described there in the book of Revelation with this beautiful person that he is as the resurrected Christ. See, sometimes we get confused because all we do is look at things through our natural eyes upon our, you know, our time zone. But Jesus is outside the time. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's from the beginning, from the end. And so we see them seeing this beautiful time of this transfiguration. And of course, Peter answered and said unto Jesus, of verse 5, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Isn't Moses, Peter, I think, was standing around, maybe with his hands in his pocket, and says, "Oh my goodness, this is so great. We need to do something." So Peter decided to be the first one to create a shrine. They had to create some type of icon for these guys in order that they might be worshipped. We can remember this. If only he knew the mess that he had made in the Holy Land and how many icons that are out there. He probably wouldn't have made them at that time or suggested it. In verse 6 we read, "For he wist not," or didn't know what to say. Otherwise, he was so amazed at what he was viewing. Peter just didn't know what to say. Now, if you don't know what to say, of course, it's probably better to say nothing, isn't it? There's some people would say, well, you know, you better say something. And so what you say is a lot of times foolish. It really doesn't, you should probably could have kept your mouth quiet. It's better to keep your mouth shut and let people think that you're full rather than open and really dispel all their doubts. They were afraid. He didn't know what to say, and so that makes his suggestion sound ridiculous. In verse 7, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them. The voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." What a powerful, powerful verse that we miss so often. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, God, who in different times and histories in different ways spoke to our fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his own son. Now, here we have Moses. What does Moses represent to us? Of course, God is speaking to man through the law. We also have here in our picture Elijah. And what does Elijah represent? That God's speaking to man through the prophet. How it is and how it was set up in the Old Testament with the book of the laws, and certainly we had the book of the prophets. You know, the law and the prophets. You remember about Jesus, where he spoke about Jesus, how Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophet. In this, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled. I think it's so important that we see this and we see the truth of who Jesus is, where we see in this transfiguration, the cloud coming over the top of it, and the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Hear what he has to say. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hear him." There are still some who would like to go back underneath the law instead of living by the grace and truth that Jesus Christ brings us. But God is saying, "Look, this is my beloved son. Hear him." And I think it's so important that we do that, that we hear and listen to the words of Jesus. You know, I think it's so marvelous that as I hear people speak about the Bible, that really, as you listen to them, and you listen to different Bible studies, and you yourself might be teaching Bible study, the ones that really do bear truth are the ones who keep Jesus at the center of their study. A good friend of mine, a man that I love and respect so much, he's out of the Applegate Christian Fellowship up north there in Oregon. His name is John Corson. I believe many of you know him. I remember hearing him speak at a conference one day. He says, "You know, we need to be about the Gospels. We should be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when we finish teaching them and when we finish reading them, we should continue in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In our own personal life, we need to learn and understand about the words of Jesus." See, God overshadowed them in the cloud, and he said, "This is my beloved son. Hear what he has to say." The question is, are we listening to what Jesus has to say? Or are we too busy thinking about our opinion of the Bible, our opinion of the Scriptures? Or are we listening to what he has to say? One of the things that grips my heart that Jesus said about his own life and his own ministry, where he says, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." I came not to be set up upon some throne or, you know, try to have people wait on me hand and foot, but I came to be a servant. Boy, what are things that I can learn from that is the attitude of Jesus just in servanthood. God said, "Make sure you listen and you follow the example that my son Jesus has given us. Lord, help us this day. Help us this day to represent you well. Help us to listen to you, what your spirit is speaking to us, that we might grow, that we might minister, that we might be more loving, more kind, more compassionate to people. Lord, keep us from churchianity. Keep us from being religious. Lord, but keep us abiding in you, abiding in you, that our lives might bear forth fruit. In Jesus' name, amen." And so until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.